Good afternoon, everybody. The theme of the study is Parent Caregiver Knowledge, Behavior, and Belief Regarding Nutrition, Diet, and Exercise. At this time, there is no personal financial to disclose, personal financial relationship to disclose. The purpose of the study is to determine the knowledge, behavior, and belief of parents and caregivers age 18 and younger regarding nutrition, diet, and exercise. And the objective is to provide new information regarding dynamics between parents, caregivers, and children, and also create an effective health education program within a community garden network in Suffolk, Virginia. Suffolk is a city in the southeastern part of Virginia. It's a large city with many rural areas. The population in Suffolk is around 83,659. Suffolk is the fastest growing city in the state of Virginia, and the population density is around 203 per mile square, compared to Philadelphia, who is 10,852, or Denver, who is 3,642. It's the largest land area in the state of Virginia as well, with 429 square miles, compared to Philadelphia, who is 143, and Denver, who is 44.7 square miles. The median income in the city of Suffolk is around 57,573. And we can see the Suffolk have a very diverse population, white, black, one more races than two. The national and local challenge is dealing with weight gain in children and adolescents and understand the dynamic between parents and children in relationship with nutrition, diet, and exercise, and also create an effective program to improve child and family health. This is the data from obesity for people aged 20 and older for 2005 and 2006. We can see that morbid obesity means people who weigh at least twice of their normal weight at the age that they should have. We have 5.9% of people who have the morbid obesity. Children weight, the indicator of children weight from the US, from the study, showed that from 76 to 80 and to 2007, children aged 2 and 5 went from 5% to 10.4%. Children 6 for 11 went to 6.5% to 19.6%, and adolescents from 12 to 19 went from 5% to 18.1%. The Suffolk data is almost the same like the national data, with 29.7% of adults aged 20 and over were overweight, but more importantly, 15.7% of low-income preschool children are obese in the city of Suffolk. Meeting the challenge, how are we going to meet the challenge to create an effective program to improve child and family health? New knowledge is needed about the influence of parents and caregivers on child health. The method we used, our participant was parent or caregiver age 18 and older, a parent and caregiver of children age 18 and younger. We collected data from two sites, the WIC clinic at the Suffolk Department of Health and North Suffolk Library, who is a division of, library branch of the Suffolk Public Library System. The study design, we have an anonymous questionnaire that we built ourselves. And we have a descriptive study and a cross-sectional study. It's a one-time study. We have three variables to measure. We measure knowledge, we measure belief, and we measure behavior. Knowledge, we have 10 questions of knowledge, and to be considered as knowledgeable, a participant should have answered 7 out of 10 questions, that means 70% of correct answer. Less than seven correct questions were considered as less knowledgeable. And for belief, the question we examined here was trying to understand what the parent believe about a chubby child, if a chubby child is healthier than a tiny child. That was the question we evaluated. And on behavior, we have three sections on behavior. We have a diary intake of day preceding the day we provide them the questionnaire. And we have fruit and vegetable. The measurement was at least five fruit and vegetable for the day preceding the day we receive the patient received the questionnaire. And the home prepared meal, at least one home prepared meal the day they receive the questionnaire as well. And for healthy exercise, we use the American College of Sport Medicine, who recommend 90 minutes of vigorous or moderate exercise. And vigorous and moderate exercise can be jogging, biking, dancing, or sustainable household exercise. And we also have additional question. That's some of the question. That's an example of question about knowledge. We can see a child is, the question was true or false. A child is still healthy if he or she has trouble breathing because of a weight. That's one of the questions, yes or no. And that's a result, the distribution of results. We have the majority of participants from here was mothers, and they have, the majority of participants have a children aged 2 to 5 years old, and the majority of participants have one children, and the age range, the majority of participants fall between the age 23 and 29. That's a distribution of knowledge. On the question 9, a child weighs too much to be healthy if he or she refused to play because of a weight. We realize that just 26% of the participants have a knowledgeable answer. Thus, for them, a child is considered to be unhealthy if he cannot play because because of his weight. This is after that we divide our knowledge question in 3 strata. The first strata was advertising. The second was health risk, and the third was health risk and benefits of child exercise. When it comes to health risk of obesity and overweight in children, we notice that just 44% of the participants have a correct answer. And to be considered as having a correct answer, the participant should respond to 3 questions on this stratum correctly. Because if the participant responds just 1 out of the 3, you're considered as incorrect. This is a histogram presenting the distribution according to the income level, and we can see from the histogram distribution that the majority of the participants who fall between the 5th percentile, that means who earn above $100,000, have a general better knowledge, have a better knowledge regarding food, nutrition, and exercise compared to the other participants. On table 4, as we say about the belief question regarding the fact that if they believe that a chubby child is healthier than a tiny child, we can also see that the majority of participants who fall between the 5th percentile, falling between the 5th percentile, I mean earning $100,000 and above, have a healthy belief because they realize that a chubby child is not a healthy child, is not healthier than a tiny child. We sometimes believe that a chubby child is healthier than a tiny child. This is an additional question regarding behavior. On this part, we look at a specific factor like reading nutritional label when you buy food, when you go, for example, to a grocery store buying specific food. Are you taking time to read the nutritional facts? The majority of participants say yes. And also using food as a reward as a student, the majority of participants say no, they don't use food to reward their children. They don't also use food to give their children when their children cry to make them feel better. This is a distribution of behavior regarding dietary intake. That means eating at least 5 fruit or vegetables the day preceding the day they receive the questionnaire. And from this histogram chart, we can notice that even the participants who earn above $100,000 do not eat normally at least five fruit and vegetables per day. But we can notice from the people from the first percentile and the second percentile that they probably eat more than 5 fruit and vegetables per day because they receive from the WIC program a supplemental nutritional program who providing for poor and low-income family fruit and vegetables in order for them to have a healthy delivery or healthy babies. And also, when it comes to physical exercise, we were really surprised to realize the data shows that participants who earn over $100,000 barely practice 90 minutes of exercise, vigorous and moderate. As I explained, vigorous or moderate means jogging, biking, and doing household activities. This is a whole. Eating at least one home prepared meal the day preceding the day we had the questionnaire. 100% of the participants earning above $100,000 ate at least one home prepared meal the day preceding the day we received the questionnaire. This is very important to understand that the income level is also one of the factors on providing healthy food or healthy eating behavior to the family. And this is the cost of the fruit. The impact of the cost of the fruit in the impact of the cost in buying fruit and vegetables. From here, we can see that the majority of participants who earn over $100,000 affirm that the cost is not a burden for them for buying fruit and vegetables. But for the people from the first and the second percentile, we can notice that the cost is a factor. Even though they benefit from the WIC clinic or the WIC program, the supplemental nutritional program, they also recognize that the cost is very important for them when they decide to buy fruit or vegetable for the family. What about the discussion? As I said earlier, the majority of participants were mothers who graduate from high school and attended some college without graduating, neither the community college, even the community college degree they didn't have. The major age range was 23, between 29 years old, and the racial disparity, as I say, in the city was black, white, and others. Others was considered as people from not being black, white, or Caucasian. The greater number of participants have fallen in the first percentile. That means the majority of participants receive the WIC benefits with the supplemental nutritional program from the federal, state, and local level. And the results show that the majority of participants was knowledgeable regarding nutrition, diet, and exercise. However, high-income level participants seem to have a more knowledgeable about nutrition, diet, and exercise. Also, high-income level seem to be a factor on eating at least one home-prepared meal a day. But when it comes to eating five fruit and vegetables per day, we can see that the income level did not affect people who earn over $100,000 a year. Participants were likely to acknowledge the benefits of physical exercise even though they were not able to practice it. In some questions, they acknowledge it, but in the behavioral part, they didn't practice it. Participants report healthy behavior regarding reading nutrition label on food container. Most participants report not using food as a reward for their children or not offering food when their children cry to make them feel better. Participants also report shows that participants report healthy behavior on eating and eat at least one home prepared meal a day. And the cost of the fruit and vegetable was a factor or a burden for buying fruit and vegetable for the family. From those data, since we just work with the income level, we could have worked with educational level, we could have worked with age range, but we just focus on income level. Income level emerged as a major influencing factor on adopting healthy belief, behavior, or being knowledgeable about nutrition, diet, and exercise. And this finding about income level should be seen as a welcome because the idea of improving parent caregiver healthy behavior also focuses on increasing the affordability of buying fruit and vegetable or healthy food, even though the main point focuses on education and information. We want to acknowledge all those entities who help us collecting data and providing the thing. And if there's any question, thank you for your time and.
We have time for some questions. I'll start. I'm interested in the differences, the seeming disconnect between the concern that parents have over the cost of fruits and vegetables, and yet the highest income group still seem to eat no fruits and vegetables. So, do you have a comment about perception about cost versus actual affordability?
Personally, I was also surprised because I thought that a parent who earn over $100,000 would be able to afford basic, simple type of food like apples and the data just what I present was the data, what the data shows. But I also want to notice that even though some of those parents did mention that the cost was a factor for them to decide in buying fruit, it wasn't worse compared to those who have less income, like those for the first and the second percentile. And that's just the only thing I can say, maybe.
So we have to work on more than affordability. Right. Any other questions? Yes.
I noticed that you recruited at both WIC sites and at the library. Did you do an analysis that compared the results for WIC, those recruited at the WIC sites versus those recruited at the library? And if so, what did that show?
At this point, we did not do the analysis comparing the WIC site and the software library. The main idea we went to those sites is to have a sample representative of the general population. That was the main idea who brought us to take the WIC site and the software library. But we didn't have a chance, we didn't at this time trying to make a comparison between both sites. Thanks for this point. We will take it in consideration later.
So we'll take more questions at the end of the session with the other presenters. Thank you again very much. Thanks.